When the art day gets rough, you just gotta keep on punching. And here's your Thunder Punch Daily with Jersey Drozd.
Hey, it's me, Jersey, and it's time for your Thunder Punch Daily, the show I record not so daily, sharing a few thoughts from the mind of a cartoonist. And we're only a couple weeks away from SPX, and I've been talking about this a little bit on Art and Story Extreme, about my anticipation of doing this show, because it is my first time tabling at a convention where I just get to table at a convention. I've talked about this here and there. But what I wanted to document today was what I'm struggling with in terms of managing my expectations for this event. Because I think one of the shortcomings that I face as a cartoonist who doesn't go to the same show every year, and this is one of the problems of being an independent cartoonist, is while I'm making a living doing drawings and teaching, which is an amazing thing. I mean, it's a dream come true to be doing that. But I am not experiencing what anybody would call phenomenal financial success. You know, money is always, always tight. I was just the other day on Twitter, Wordomatic is the name of the fellow on Twitter. And let me double check to see what his real name is real quick. Ward Jenkins. He was actually interviewed on the Big Illustration Party Time podcast a while back. And a talented illustrator, and that's why I follow him on Twitter. He says really interesting things. But one of the things that he posted the other day that I thought was really, it just rang true to me, was somebody asked him the question of, do you ever worry about making ends meet in your career as an illustrator? Now, this is an accomplished illustrator, mind you, a talented illustrator. And he answered emphatically, yes, all the time, all in caps. And that's the absolute ugly truth of being a professional illustrator, storyteller, cartoonist, teacher, whatever line of work you get into in the creative arts, is that no matter how successful you may appear to be to others, you're always worrying about money all the time. That's the demon you sort of make a deal with in order to pursue a creative life. And one of the pitfalls of that is that means that I don't have the financial latitude to go to a whole lot of conventions. As a matter of fact, the only reason I'm able to go to SPX is because a very generous listener paid for our table. You know, that's amazing. I've gone to this with Mark on the Art and Story podcast a bunch of times about how it's just too big a gamble to throw that much money into it. It's actually cheaper for me to go on a vacation than to go to a comics convention. And we did a episode of Art and Story a while back. If you haven't listened to it yet, it was like the big conventioning field guide or something like that. Just do a search for conventions on the Art and Story site and you'll find it. And in that episode, we actually put together a Google Doc that we linked to that details how much it costs to do these shows. So, okay, I'm going to get past all that real quick. So I've established that it's expensive to go. I don't get to go to as many as I'd like to because it's so expensive to go and because it's just too big of a financial risk to justify the trip, okay? But because of that, I don't get to go to the same show over and over and over again. And what's more is a lot of the shows I've been to in the last couple of years where I just tabled as an artist were, let's face it, some of them were abysmal failures. Wizard World Chicago, Heroes Con wasn't that great to me, although I might try that one again. Mid-Ohio Con, not so good. The more local, smaller art fairs were great to me, and they were much more inexpensive to attend. But because of this, I don't feel like I have a really solid sense of what to expect from the next show I go to. You know, if I was going to HeroesCon again, see, this is maybe a misstep in my strategy, is if I were going to HeroesCon, which I went to in 2006 with Sarah Turner, I know what I did wrong at that show and I can fix it, or at least attempt to fix it. And I have a little bit more of a sense of what I can expect from that show. But SPX is a brand new show to me. And I've had people tell me what to expect from the show, like what it feels like and what the vibe is there. But I don't know where I fit in on that. As a matter of fact, Supreme Storyer Casey Van Heiss Space Case with a K on the Twitters, wintersandlavelle.com. You've heard me mention her recently on the Art and Story podcast. She even posted something on Twitter not too long ago about worrying about indie cred at this kind of event. And I kind of poked fun at her, like, oh my God, do we have to worry about cred now? But, you know, she was speaking of something that I think is tertiarily related to what I'm thinking about in terms of managing my expectations. So let's talk about what I'm going to bring to this show. And again, I hope this doesn't sound too self-indulgent to talk about my convention prep, but my hope is that by sharing this, I'm documenting something that all of you guys who are conventioning in North America, at least, have to think about. So my goal is focus for this show. Is I don't want to just bring everything I do, because I've got quite a few books under my belt now. And if I put everything on the table, I could easily fill a full table just for myself. And I'm only using a half table at this event. So I want to focus the attention on my storefront, I guess you could call it that, on the replacements. The replacements is, I just got notification from Kablam, the sponsor of the Art and Story podcast, ka-blam.com. I never mentioned them on Thunder Punch Daily. I think I'm allowed a pass on that this time. I just got notification that the replacements books have been shipped, so I will have them in time for the show, and I'm super excited about that. And I want to put, that's where I want my big push to be. I'm really proud of this book. I'm excited about it being collected in one edition finally, and I really want to give this thing center attention. But I'm also bringing the front, the trade paperback, because I'm proud of that book. I put a lot of work into it. I've talked about it ad nauseum. You've all heard of the front now, even if you haven't read it. So I'm going to bring some copies of that, but I'm not going to put many copies on the table. I'm bringing a handful of copies of Equalizers of the Divide, a story I did with Sarah Turner for Sugary Cereals, because, again, that too is a project I'm extremely proud of. And I'm just bringing a handful of copies just in case there's some extra room on the table. But, you know, it may well be that I don't even put any copies out. I'm bringing 30 copies of the Sugary Cereals free comic edition. That's a 8-page comic that I paid out of pocket. I think it was something like $50 for the 30 copies. And I'm bringing it to the show to give to kids under 13 if I see any there. And that I'm going to get to this when we talk about managing expectations. And then I'm also bringing Tiny Hamilton. If not the first chapter of the new graphic novel I'm working on with my wife, Anne, at least the first issue of Tiny Hamilton that we did a little over a year ago. And here's the great thing about making comics, right, is that, especially if you're an independent person, I did that Tiny Hamilton book a little over a year ago, but people at SPX don't know that. This is a new book to them. So as long as you don't put the date on it, it comes off as being a new project. And I hope that doesn't sound like trickery. I mean, it's just it's a sort of a fringe benefit of being a lesser known cartoonist. Now, I've talked in the past about finding ways to engage the crowd as they're walking by. And there's a lot of common wisdom that gets thrown around about that. I mean, being friendly, being smiling. I have noticed that when I'm behind a table, if I'm laughing and I'm having a good time and not paying attention to the foot traffic, people tend to be more prone to approach because, oh, what's all the fun over here? What's going on? But also I noticed that at things like the Detroit Urban Craft Fair and some of the art fairs I've gone to, that sketching is a great attention grabber, particularly my crayon sketches. Now, when I say my crayon sketches, I'm talking about a 5.5-inch wide by 8.5-inch deep piece of Bristol that I just doodle in crayon. I mean, I do a quick blue line under sketch, but then I just do a very like 5-minute or less crayon sketch of different 80s cartoon characters, 80s TV characters, things I like to draw. And that becomes an attention-getting mechanism, an engagement mechanism, because people see, what's this guy drawing in crayon for? Oh, he's drawing Webster, the famous TV character. That's funny. Oh, he's drawing Alf. Oh, he's drawing Trapjaw from He-Man. That can be a way to get people to come and sort of pay attention to you and start a conversation with you, and then you can make a sale. And then I brought some Upfair postcards, and I'm bringing some business cards just in case I make any kind of business connections, which I don't know if I will. Okay, so let's go into managing expectations really quick, just for a couple minutes. The thing I'm facing is I've never been to this show. And while I've heard it's a very indie-friendly show, the problem with the name indie is it evokes a lot of imagery. I don't know what it's like over in Europe. So Renee or Kim, you'll have to weigh in on this for me. I don't know what that word means to people over there. But over here, it has become, it's been conflated with a certain kind of style, a visual style, both in terms of the art, but also in terms of the people who purchase it, and also in terms of kinds of stories. When I say the word indie, the stereotype that you're going to, that will get evoked in most people's minds in North America is the bearded hipster with the plaid shirt, the girl dressed in like 1950s apparel, or what they call the Molly McButters, where they dress sort of like the stereotypical kind of librarian woman with glasses with the little connectors, you know, like the little strand that goes behind their neck to hold their glasses around their neck when they take them off. There's a lot of stereotypes associated with the word indie nowadays, and the indie comics aesthetic is, gosh, I don't even know if I feel safe talking about it, because it's going to sound like I'm making a value judgment and that I myself am stereotyping indie comics when I'm not. I'm really not trying to do that. But what I am trying to illustrate is that I don't feel, while I am an indie creator, I don't feel that I personally match the indie aesthetic and the indie style. I'm not going to go there wearing an Iron and Wine t-shirt. I'm not going to go there with a big old beard and Buddy Holly glasses on. Nothing wrong if you dress that way. I'm just saying that those things have become associated as a stereotype with the word indie. And so my wondering is, are people going to come to this event with that sort of expectation on their behalf? And then when they see this kind of bombastic, all ages, kid-friendly stuff, is that going to be out of place? Is that going to be anachronistic? Something I've run into in one of the reasons why I personally feel out of place, and I bet a lot of you art and storyers feel out of place in this way, is that I don't fit into mainstream comics events because mainstream traditional, I don't want to say mainstream, it's an incorrect word, traditional comics events like the big shows, the Wizard Worlds, the Mid-Ohio Cons, the Heroes Cons, is a lot of the people there work for Marvel, DC, Image, Dark Horse, etc. And those companies produce a certain kind of comic that has a certain kind of production value and a certain kind of emphasis on adult content. I don't fit in with that because, my stuff isn't licensed characters, and two, it's meant to be all ages. And I've even had conversations at these conventions where somebody comes up and they go, oh, you say all ages, but I know that there's jokes between the lines that really hint at highly sexual jokes. And I'm like, no, it's just meant to be good for kids, you know? but there's that expectation, right? And so at SPX, now I'm wondering, how indie is this place going to be? An indie in quotes? Or is it going to be like my experience at the Mocha Art Festival in New York City? This is what I'm hoping for, is that it's going to be a little bit of that indie hipster aesthetic and style and expectation, but also this kind of wide-eyed sense of what is new here that I can discover. And I sold quite a few copies of The Replacements, Issue 1, and Silver and the Periodic Forces, Number 1, at that show, regardless of the fact that they were, from an indie standpoint, from the indie stereotype standpoint, my stuff is too mainstream. At the mainstream shows, the traditional shows, my stuff is too weird. So, I'm betting a lot of us face this kind of problem, is not feeling like we fit in any place. And I think that's a good thing. I think that means that we're speaking from some kind of a center and that we're being true to ourselves in a sense. If we really felt like we fit in with a group, then, and it's like, I'm going to quote Groucho Marx, I don't want to be part of any club that would have me, you know? I don't know what the full meaning of that joke is, but the way I know it's been applied over the years is to mean somebody who is either full of self-loathing or so idiosyncratic that they are suspicious of acceptance. So anyway, let's go to the crayon sketches for a little bit. I want to document something I'm a little worried about with the crayon sketches, and I put this on my DeviantArt page. Yeah, I'm on DeviantArt, by the way, in case any of you guys were wondering. I think it's just Jersey Drozd on DeviantArt. I don't know if the crayon sketches are going to be too tacky there. Now, at the Detroit Urban Craft Fair and at the Shadow Art Fair, these indie arts shows where I and Mark and Anne were the purple cows. We were the things that stood out as being unique because we were comics. We were the only comics people there. It was unusual for people to see somebody drawing, and it was that much more unusual and fun to see somebody drawing with crayons and drawing 80s characters. There was a little bit of a, it's kind of a sense of kitsch, which I don't like in the way people reacted to it. But in any case, it was sort of a fun way to get attention at the table, and it was a fun thing to like sort of pass the time. Now, at SPX, this is a comic show. Everybody there is probably going to be an artist of some sort. So I'm not going to be the purple cow in that respect. And I don't know if it will be tacky to do crayon sketches at an event like that. I'm still going to bring my crayons. As a matter of fact, this is the great thing about doing crayon sketches and crayon comics. I got more to document about the Jared comic as I slowly start to roll it out and make it public. I went to the Target recently nearby, and the new school semester is starting up, and all the back to school sales have started here in the United States. And I walked by the school supply section, and lo and behold, they were selling boxes of 24 crayons for $4 for $1. So I grabbed a bunch of them because art supplies. That was actually a pretty cool find. I was pretty happy about that. But so I'm going to take my box of crayons. I'm going to take a big stack of Bristol, and I'll give it a try, and I will document this while I'm there to see how it goes. But I'm suspicious about it. I don't know if it's going to be considered, like I said, tacky being amongst all these artists and doing this fun thing. Now, I know some of you might be saying, well, geez, George, just do what is fun for you. Of course I'm going to do what's fun for me. That's my number one priority at this event, is not really worry about sales as much as having a good time. This is the one time where I have the luxury of being able to have a good time at a show. And that will be my primary mission at this thing. But I also feel as sort of a responsibility to you guys to be eyes and ears of the event and be able to give you guys a report on what works and what doesn't, so that you can go to an SPX and feel like you're equipped. So that's why I'm even documenting all this stuff. This isn't something that's keeping me awake at night. It's just something I'm wondering about in the back of my mind, something I'm kind of playing with, and something I'm just kind of musing about. Because the great thing is, it's a two-day event. If something doesn't work in day one, I can just put it away and not do it on day two, you know? But then again, day one and day two crowds often change, so it's going to be an interesting experience. So anyway, you know, this was, I guess, more of a journal episode in some respects, but it's something I think that most of us in the North American continent have to face when we're approaching conventions, because we have to manage our own expectations while anticipating the expectations of the crowd that's going to be there. Because let's face it, even if we go for a good time, we have to justify the costs of going. And this is one of the reasons that conventions can be such an enormous gamble for us. So, okay. I guess I'm done with that for now, and I'll have more to report later. So who am I? I'm Jersey Droz of jdroz.com, Jersey on the Twitters. Thank you very much for your support of this project. We couldn't do it without you. Thank you to the new subscribers, if you're listening. We appreciate you giving this content a try, and we hope you like what you find here. And, you know, there was just Mark actually was talking on Twitter just today about posting a new video. It should be up in the next day or so, and I'm sure it's going to be great. There's also some other videos that have been posted up recently. Kevin Cross posted one a while back, doing some more demonstrations of creating distressed looks of images in your comics to make look like vintage look of your covers. So check that out if you haven't already. Just scroll down to the bottom of the Art and Story website, artandstorypodcast.com, and click the archives link. I think there's an archives link at the top too, now that I think about it. So anyway, I will be back soon, very soon, with another Thunder Punch Daily. Until then, remember everybody.
Today, Teela made a mistake, but instead of trying to correct it, she ran away. That was an even bigger mistake. Making mistakes is part of being human, but punishing yourself or quitting because of it is no way to make things better. The right thing to do is accept your error and try not to make that same mistake again. That's a lot smarter than running away. Until our next exciting adventure, goodbye for now.